Daily Manna from the Torah by Dr. Katriel Blad. Chayei Sarah, Week 5, First Aliyah. And Sarah died at Kiryat Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Genesis 23, verse 2. How did Abraham weep for Sarah? Our mother Sarah suddenly died at Hebron. All the joy that Abraham Avinu was experiencing from his victory and blessing on the 10th test was changed into sorrow. Abraham went to mourn and cry for her. However, the written Torah hides a secret regarding our father's weeping. The word livkota, that has been translated as to weep for her, the Masoretic text displays on purpose the letter Kaf, smaller than the rest of the letters. There are 8, probably 9 smaller letters in the Chumash or Pentateuch. And this is the second instance in which we see this phenomenon. If we start from the standpoint that these are not copyist mistakes, since Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose for this? Why the letter Kaf is smaller than the other letters in this word? Obviously, the Eternal wants to teach us something, because not even the smallest letter of the Torah will pass until all is accomplished. Matthew 5, verse 18. Normally, it is understood that this letter is smaller than the rest because Abraham's weeping was smaller than normal. The Torah doesn't show us that Sarah's death had a big impact on Abraham either. And why is that? One of the reasons why Abraham didn't cry that much is because he was going to meet Sarah once again in the resurrection of the dead. This totally agrees with Saul's words in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, where it is written, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so, through Yeshua, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Abraham was expecting the heavenly city to come to the land of Canaan, where he lived as a foreigner, as it is also written in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, here in the land of Canaan, should be understood. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Here it is not about the soul going to the heavenly city where one dies, because no one has received the promise of the world to come as of yet. According to what is written in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, all these people won approval for their faith but did not receive what was promised. Since God had planned something better for us so that they would not become perfect without us. Those who died haven't received the promise yet. They will when the Messiah comes back and raises those from the dead. those who died in faith, that is. So our father Abraham didn't weep very much for his beloved wife, knowing that he was going to see her again in the resurrection of the dead. It is a custom among the Jewish people that when someone passes away, the immediate family fasts on that day. The burial should take place on the same day of the death as soon as possible. According to the halakha, the practical rabbinical set of laws, there are three mourning periods after the burial of a close relative: a week, a month, and a year. There are 10 specific rules for the first week. 1. Both to sit down and to eat on the floor. 2. No wearing leather shoes. 3. No greeting others. 4. No working. 5. No cutting of one's hair or to shave for the first 30 days. 6. No washing the whole body and no wearing perfumes. 7 days, but according to more strict rules, 30 days. 7th rule, no washing or ironing one's clothes. 7 days, but according to the above-mentioned opinion, 30 days. 8. No studying Torah. 9. No sexual intercourse. 10th, no taking part in feasts for 12 months. During the afternoon, the day before the 7th and of the 30th day, the community gathers at the mourner's home to pray the mincha, the afternoon prayer, and also the arvit, the evening night prayer. And this is to study Torah. The mourner recites the Kaddish, the sanctification of the name of the Eternal, in community prayers, and in specific moments, that is, during 12 months less 1 week, this is done. After the 30 days and during the first year, a headstone can be erected in remembrance of the deceased relative. Many do this in the anniversary of the death. The mourning period should end on the 30th day. However, if a Yom Tov, a festival, is ordered by the scripture, comes during a period, the mourning can end as of this day. In the anniversary, the Yahrzeit, it is a custom to fast, light a remembrance candle, give tzedakah, alms or charity, to have guests and to host a special session of Torah study. Between Mincha and Arvit, at the beginning of the anniversary day, Abraham Avinu didn't weep a lot for his beloved wife because he knew that the blessing that the Eternal had given them included a wonderful share for them both in the world to come. May the Eternal allow us all the privilege of reaching the world to come and the heavenly city that will descend to earth. Shavua Tov.